Section I, the four classes of the redeemed. The ensuing study is given to prove that the great multitude of Revelation 7-9 are living saints who, with the 144,000, are to be translated at the second coming of Christ. All the saved in the history of the world, from righteous Abel to the close of probation, are divided into four great, separate, and distinct classes, as follows. Class 1, the 144,000 of Revelation 7, namely, the 12 tribes of Israel, of the promise, a special company with a special experience. Class 2, the translated at the coming of Christ in the clouds, the great multitude of Revelation 7-9. Class 3, the millions of all ages who were martyred for their faith. Class 4, those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who, plucked as brands from the burning, have followed their Savior with deep, intense devotion. Great Controversy, page 665. Earthly nations and governments glory in the splendid order of their armies, and their uniforms are made according to ranks, so that by the uniform one can recognize the rank of a soldier, and to which division or regiment he belongs. We must not suppose the great God has less order for his redeemed than earthly nations for their armies. We know God has far better order than any earthly government can ever devise. An endeavor shall be made to prove that each one of the four classes mentioned above have their uniforms by which they can be discerned and classified. Class 1. In early writings, pages 16, 17, we read here, on the sea of glass the 144,000 stood in a perfect square. Some of them had very bright crowns, others not so bright. Some crowns appeared heavy with stars, while others had but few. All were perfectly satisfied with their crowns, and they were all clothed with a glorious white mantle from their shoulders to their feet. The 144,000 are described as having this glorious white mantle as part of their garments. Class 2. Class 2 are the translated besides the 144,000. Revelation 7-9 says, "After this the 144,000 I beheld, and, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands." It will be noticed this company have palms in their hands. Class 3. Early writings, pages 18, 19. As we were traveling along, we met a company, who also were gazing at the glories of the place. I noticed red, as of order on their garments, their crowns were brilliant, their robes were pure white. As we greeted them, I asked Jesus who they were. He said they were martyrs that had been slain for him. With them was an innumerable company of little ones, they also had a hem of red on their garments. Thus class 3, the martyrs are described as having red on their garments. Class 4. Great sinners plucked as brands from the burning, but who died natural death. These have neither a mantle over their shoulders, palms in their hands, nor red, as of order around their garments, but they do have crowns of gold. Their crowns differ from the crowns of the 144,000, the latter having stars in their crowns, as stated under heading Class 1. Thus we have the description of these four classes, and the symbols of their garments, and can be summarized as follows. Class 1, the 144,000 have the glorious white mantle, and stars in their crowns. Class 2, the great multitude of Revelation 7-9. Have palms in their hands. Class 3, the millions of all ages who were martyred, have red around their garments, as of order. Class 4, great sinners plucked as brands from the burning, but who died natural death, who have white robes and golden crowns, but no stars on their crowns. Same as those of Revelation 4:4. There must have been a definite reason for describing the special uniforms, which must have been for the purpose of disclosing this truth. Types and anti-types. The spirit of prophecy says Elijah represents those who will be living when Christ comes, and be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and be translated. Desire of Ages, page 421. Elijah, who had been translated to heaven without seeing death, represented those who will be living upon the earth at Christ's second coming, and who will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. References made of Enoch and Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 88, 89. The godly character of this prophet represents the state of holiness which must be attained by those who shall be redeemed from the earth at the time of Christ's second advent, but like Enoch, God's people will seek for purity of heart and conformity to His will until they shall reflect the likeness of Christ. Like Enoch, they will warn the world of the Lord's second coming and of the judgments to be visited upon transgression, and by their holy conversation and example they will condemn the sins of the ungodly. As Enoch was translated to heaven before the destruction of the world by water, so the living righteous will be translated from the earth before its destruction by fire. Though Elijah represents those who shall be translated at the second coming of Christ, Enoch does too. Both men were translated without seeing death. The question is, why two types? Because there are two companies of people to be translated, the 144,000, and the great multitude of Revelation 7:9. The 144,000 are Israelites, the great multitude are not. Enoch is not an Israelite, therefore he cannot represent Israel, the 144,000. The name Israel did not come into existence until the time of Jacob, which was many centuries after Enoch was translated. A clearer explanation on the subject will be given in another section. We shall determine which class Enoch represents by the uniform he wears. Early Writings, page 40, says, "There I saw good old Enoch, who had been translated. On his right arm he bore a glorious palm, and on each leaf was written, Victory." Here we see Enoch, too, has the palm in his hand, the same as the great multitude, class number 2. Enoch is said to be the seventh from Adam. 7 means complete, finished, thus perfectly typifying the class represented by him in Revelation 7:9, the great multitude. We shall endeavor to bring another proof that the great multitude with the palms in their hands are translated with the 144,000. In Great Controversy, page 665, we read about classes 2, 3, and 4. The part referring to class 4 reads as follows: "Nearest the throne are those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who plucked as brands from the burning, have followed their Savior with deep, intense devotion. Next are those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of falsehood and infidelity, those who honored the law of God when the Christian world declared it void. Here is included every possible sin to a sinner in all ages who have taken their stand for God. But of class 2, the great multitude, there is no reference given as to what kind of sinners they are. Class 1, the 144,000, are called Israel, a special company with a special experience. After including every possible sin to a sinner in class 4, those who shall be resurrected, and the martyrs in class 3, inspiration says, and beyond is the great multitude, with white robes and palms in their hands. Therefore, this company could not be classed with the other two, or with the 144,000. If class 2, the great multitude, were the saved and resurrected from all ages, then all of the saved must have palms in their hands. But, as it is plain that not all have the palms, then these are not all the saved in all ages, but are the translated ones only, besides the 144,000. The palm is a symbol of victory over death and the grave, that is, they never died. Again, speaking of the same company, we read in Revelation 7:14, last part, "And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Thus this company went through the tribulation of Daniel 12, which is in the time of the seven last plagues. Revelation 7:16, last part, "Neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. They go through the fourth plague, so it is clear that this company lives in the time of the end, at the second advent of Christ, to be translated. An Explanation of Early Writings, page 15. Speaking of the announcement made of the coming of Christ, the day and the hour, which is before the general resurrection and at the time of the special resurrection, we read, "Soon we heard the voice of God, like many waters, which gave us the day and hour of Jesus' coming." The living saints, 144,000, in number, knew and understood the voice, while the wicked thought it was thunder and an earthquake. When God spoke the time, He poured upon us the Holy Ghost, and our faces began to light up and shine with the glory of God, as Moses did when he came down from Mount Sinai. The 144,000 were all sealed and perfectly united. On their foreheads was written, "God, New Jerusalem," and a glorious star containing Jesus' new name. At our happy, holy state, the wicked were enraged and would rush violently up to lay hands on us to thrust us into prison, when we would stretch forth a hand in the name of the Lord, and they would fall helpless to the ground. We are not to understand that all who were present at this time and heard the announcement made of the day and the hour were the 144,000 only. The language used makes it clear that there were more, for the pronouns we, us, they, and our are used. In pointing to the 144,000, the definite article "thee" is used. She does not put herself as one of the 144,000, but, instead, the pronoun "us" is used. Therefore, there must be another company living besides the 144,000. Elijah represents the 144,000. If Enoch represents the great multitude of Revelation 7:9, then Elijah represents the 144,000, for only two in the world's history have been translated without seeing death. Further proof is not necessary, however. Other reasons shall be given why Elijah typified the 144,000. Elijah saw the drought and the famine in Israel, so will the 144,000, for we read in Great Controversy, page 649, "They have seen the earth wasted with famine and pestilence, the sun having power to scorch men with great heat." Elijah had a mantle over his shoulders, 2 Kings 2:8. Likewise the 144,000 have a mantle, and they were all clothed with a glorious white mantle from their shoulders to their feet. Early Writings, page 17. Quoting from Testimonies to Ministers, page 475, prophecy must be fulfilled. The Lord says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Somebody is to come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and when he appears, men may say, "You are too earnest, you do not interpret the scriptures in the proper way. Let me tell you how to teach your message." Sister White does not mean to say that she is that prophet Elijah, but plainly says a prophet must come, and it is said to be a prophet with the same spirit and power of Elijah. This prophet must come before Ezekiel 9 is fulfilled, for the prophecy of Ezekiel is similar to Elijah's experience with Israel in the days of Ahab. Elijah's work in the days of Ahab, king of Israel, was to prove to Israel that they had apostatized, and after doing so, he took the priests, or prophets, and cut their heads off and threw them in the brook. Such was the spirit and power of Elijah. We read in Testimonies to Ministers, page 445, "The sealing of the servants of God, the 144,000, Revelation 7 is the same that was shown to Ezekiel in vision. Then the sealing of the 144,000 is the same as Ezekiel 9. And the marking by the man with the writer's ink horn is the seal. As soon as the marking is done, the five men with the slaughter weapons go after him and slay both old and young, both maids and little children and women. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house." It is at this time the 144,000 are marked or sealed. Ezekiel 9 fits Elijah's experience for this reason. The prophet, or the message, is called Elijah, with the spirit and the power of Elijah. The prophet Elijah thought all Israel had apostatized, and that he alone was left, but the Lord said he had 7,000 men that had not bowed any to Baal. 7 signifies a complete or perfect number, which stands as a symbol, in this instance meaning a complete number of thousands. The complete number of the very elect is 144,000. So we, too, like Elijah, think the whole church has drifted into the world bowed any to Baal. Thus Elijah stands as a type of the 144,000 living, translated saints. Moses' type of resurrection of just. Moses upon the Mount of Transfiguration was a witness to Christ's victory over sin and death. He represented those who shall come forth from the grave at the resurrection of the just. Desire of Ages, page 421. Moses represents the first, or general resurrection of Revelation 26. Type of special resurrection. If Moses represents the general resurrection, who, then, would represent the mixed, or special resurrection of Daniel 12:2? We have the one of Matthew 27:52-53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. The saints who had part in this resurrection were gathered from all ages. Some who, perhaps, had lived at the very time Christ was preaching, and were acquainted with him and his work, were witnesses to his resurrection. Read Early Writings, page 184. Desire of Ages, page 786. There is still another reason why Matthew 27:52 is a type of this mixed resurrection. Those who were resurrected with Christ witnessed of the deity of Christ to the very ones who crucified him. Speaking of this mixed resurrection, Daniel says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, and everlasting contempt." Then there will be some righteous included who lived, and witnessed the crucifixion, also those who crucified him, and pierced him. 4. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Therefore, the resurrection which witnessed of the power of God, to these murderers of his Son, typified the just who are raised in the mixed special resurrection. The type of the second resurrection. The wicked who come up in the mixed resurrection of Daniel 12:2, and who must die the second death at the coming of Christ, typify the ones who come up at the end of the millennium, called the resurrection of the wicked. Read Great Controversy, pages 661, 662, Early Writings, pages 52-53. Type of the second death. It has been a perplexing question whether the wicked ones who arise in the special resurrection of Daniel 12:2 continue to live or die with the living wicked at the second coming of Christ and be resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years. As God leaves nothing undone, he has foretold everything in prophecy and types as well. If we have a type for every other event, we must have a type of this. The wicked ones who are resurrected must die with the rest of the wicked at the coming of Christ in the clouds to typify the second death at the end of the millennium. Now the question is, will they arise again in the second resurrection with the wicked? In answer to this question, Early Writings, page 292 says, "At the first resurrection all come forth in immortal bloom, but at the second the marks of the curse are visible on all, the kings and noblemen of the earth, the mean and low, the learned and unlearned, come forth together. All behold the Son of Man, and those very men, who despised and mocked him, who put the crown of thorns upon his sacred brow, and smote him with the reed, behold him in all his kingly majesty. Those who spit upon him in the hour of his trial now turn from his piercing gaze, and from the glory of his countenance. Those who drove the nails through his hands and feet now look upon the marks of his crucifixion. Those who thrust the spear into his side behold the marks of their cruelty on his body." By this we understand that these very men are there again in the second resurrection. Therefore they were resurrected the second time, at the end of the 1,000 years, to die in the second death, which they themselves typified, by dying the second death with the living wicked at the second coming of Christ, in the clouds. Thus we have a prophecy and a type for every event that has or will take place in this wicked world of ours. A thought of perfection. 1. The resurrection of Moses. 2. The resurrection at the time when Jesus arose. 3. The special resurrection of Daniel 12:2. 4. The first resurrection of Revelation 26. 5. The translation of Enoch. 6. The translation of Elijah. 7. The general translation at the coming of Christ. Thus, we again have the number 7, the sign of perfection, all, or finished. The 4 resurrections and 3 translations comprise all the saints resurrected and translated, all of which make a total of 7, or the end. Procession of the redeemed. What a wonderful parade it will be when the redeemed of all ages shall march through the golden streets and heavenly places amidst the pure and the blessed. 1. Escorting the great procession we see the millions of angels who ministered to the redeemed in all ages. 2. Moses, the type of the resurrected, and the first man to write in the Bible, we see marching ahead as a leader of the resurrected ones, clothed in white and a glittering golden crown on his head. The resurrected ones whom he represents are class 4, clad in white robes and having golden crowns. 3. Next we see good, innocent Abel, representing the martyrs with the glorious white robe and red around his garment, as a border, leading millions of martyrs of all ages class 3, whose robes are just like the one worn by their leader, Abel. 4. We now behold good old Enoch, having around his head a dazzling white wreath, above it a lovely crown brighter than the sun, and on his right arm a glorious palm. It is by him the great translated multitude are both led and represented, all in pure white robes, palms in their hands, and golden crowns on their heads. 5. Last of all the redeemed, the brave Elijah, with a glorious white mantle from his shoulders to his feet, a type and leader of the most wonderful company, though small in number. Being a special company, with a special experience, a royal priesthood, the 144,000, in pure white, and a glorious mantle from their shoulders to their feet, with stars in their crowns. Revelation 14:5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. 6. If the sons of God Adams, from other worlds presented themselves before the Lord according to Job 1:6, in a council meeting, then surely the sons of God Adams, from all the worlds would not be excluded from the most wonderful and the only procession in eternity's endless expanse. 7. L1 Explanation of Writers in Horn of Early Writings, page 279. The man with the writers in horn of Ezekiel 9. Is the one who performs the sealing of the 144,000 long before the close of probation. Some may misunderstand the statement made in early writings and thereby be confused. For the benefit of such a one, we make this explanation. Quoting the statement found in early writings, page 279, we read, I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven. An angel with the riders in horn, by his side returned from the earth, and reported to Jesus, that his work was done, and the saints were numbered and sealed. Then I saw Jesus, who had been ministering before the ark containing the 10 commandments, throw down the censer. He raised his hands, and with a loud voice said, It is done. It is unmistakably plain that it was an angel with the riders in horn, and that his work was done, also that Jesus' work was finished in the heavenly sanctuary probation closed. Because this angel has a riders in horn, by his side same, as the man in Ezekiel 9, is no proof that it is the same angel, for it may be supposed that there would be more than one angel with such an instrument. However, it may be the same sealing angel in both instances, but the thought is, when the man of Ezekiel 9 seals the 144,000, his work continues on through the harvest time. The saints must be numbered and sealed in this generation the same as those who have been sealed in the ages past. Evidently, his work has been continuing ever since sin entered into the human family, perhaps beginning with Abel, and would continue to the close of probation, at which time his work would be done.